I always love seeing young people come up through the ranks. I do. It just blesses me so much. Because the parents are putting something in them and calling them up, and the kids are hearing something and stepping in. And it's just such a blessing. That's how I see it. And so today, if you're a person that really likes to put a sermon on the title, today's title would be God's Love Changes Everything. Simple as that. You know, sometimes I preach and sometimes I teach. Today, I'm just going to go full-on exhortation. Just about trying to encourage everybody today. That's all I'm going to do. And so I had this, what I thought, I don't think God agreed, because I thought I had this really robust sermon. I worked on it all week, and then God decided to change it yesterday. And so now I probably have a very much better sermon that I just got from him and finished up this morning. So let's just get to it. You know, last week I talked about how God spoke to me, supernaturally spoke to me, confirmed it with another guy I'd never met before in my life out of Psalm 91. Do you guys remember that? And so today I'm going to be talking about God's goodness and just his goodness to me, because let me just run down through some of this stuff. There's a lot of milestones that I've hit lately, and I've noticed some people that when they hit their big milestones, like I just hit 60, it almost bums them out. Like, wow, I'm really getting old. And you know, I got a knee that kind of reminds me of that sometimes, and I got a shoulder that tells me I'm every day of 60 years old. But I just want to tell you, I want to change our thinking, because it's the world that tells us you're only useful or you have your greatest value when you're young and beautiful. That's what the world says. But my age and how I look, that I'm still alive right now, is a testament to God's faithfulness. I am a display of God's faithfulness. He has kept me my whole life, all 60 years, and then the stuff he's done in the last 30 years is just absolutely amazing. So let me just start out by asking you a question. Do you ever feel like you're getting old? Come on, I think almost all of us could say yes, except for the two girls singing this morning. Have you ever felt like things are diminishing? For you, for your family, for the government, for our nation, the world? Do you ever feel like we're losing it and we're not going to get back? Have you ever felt like you missed an opportunity in the past and now your ship has sailed? I think at some time we all think that. And sometimes when we're not careful, we can get stuck in that and believe that lie and start living our lives out of a lie that says your best days are behind you and now you've missed it. So just hang in there and just wait for the stuff to wrap up. Put that with a world that looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket, and man, you can get pretty bummed out. So we almost have to grab ourselves and go, hold on a second. Wait a second. Wake up. What did God say? Am I believing out of what God said about me and for me and into my future? Or am I believing how I feel and what the world's lying to me? And so today I'm going to try to just encourage us, just say, come on, my best is yet to come. Come on, especially people around my age and older. My best is yet to come. I really believe it. Moses didn't even start doing great things till he was 80. Between 80 and 120 is when Moses did almost his whole ministry. I don't think anybody here is over 100. His last 20 years, all over 100. So I'm going to start by reminding us about God's faithfulness to us. As of the last year, over a year ago now, me and Jeanette have been married 30 years. That's incredible. Yesterday was my 60th birthday. Next June 18th will be my born-again 30-year birthday. Been the Lord 30 years. God is so faithful. To keep a guy like me faithful, man, you know our God is big. Come on. Come on. God is awesome. God is big. So next September 11th next year, just like 12 and a half months from right now, we will celebrate our 10-year anniversary in this place. Wow. Regardless of what, different presidents, economies, all the stuff going on, corona, all this stuff, here we are, still in this building, still people coming up through the ranks. God's still proving his faithfulness to all of us. These are great days to be alive. The darker it gets out there, the brighter our light shines. When everybody is sure that it's on cruise control, it's getting good, it's just going to keep getting good, what do they need God for? Nothing. But when stuff seems like it's breaking at every level, every direction, nothing seems to work, except for God answers, our light gets brighter. So today I'm going to try to just encourage us, because my testimony, especially for the last 30 years, is this. I love the Lord because he first loved me, and I'm blessed because I know him. Simple as that. All my blessings come from God. They really do. I have skills and I have talents, I have experience, but without God, I'm pretty sure I would have already died in prison. And so I can honestly and clearly say I love the Lord because he first loved me, right? Isn't that, that's probably what we'd all say. Only reason I love him because he loved me first. Without him loving me first, poof, I'd still be that other guy. Well, that's totally scripture. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. So if you agree with me that you love God because he loved you, that's just, you're living Bible. Isn't that nice to know? We're living Bible. It's not just feelings or emotions. It's like, no, I've had an experience with living God. That's why I'm like this now. Psalm 91:14 says this. This is, the psalmist, David, is quoting God as saying about you and me. Because he, or she, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he's known my name. Come on. I'm looking here. I don't see any non-Christians here. We're all born again. So all of us can tell everyone we ever meet, I do know the name of God. I know him. I set my love on him. His name's Jesus. In that crazy, confused world, think how many different people think all these different gods are the real God. I can tell you what the Bible says because it's in my heart. The name of God is Jesus Christ. I don't have to scream it. I don't have to yell at nobody. I don't have to grab them, get them in their face. I'm just telling you, I got the answer. Because God first loved me, and I gave my life to him. God's name is Jesus. He's my own personal Lord and Savior. That's the setting for today's exhortation, okay? Are we still here? We okay? You guys, okay. All right. I just want to make sure. I don't want to just preach by myself. So my whole life can be described by those two passages. The sovereign love of God going through me, changing me inside out, and then his good plan for my life. That's all of it. God's love changes everything. I'm not a drunk anymore, not because of self-discipline. I'm not full of hatred and bitterness and anger just because of self-discipline, just because I think positive thoughts and I've decided not to be. I tried all that stuff. It lasted about 4 minutes. I've been walking this walk for 30 years. That's the power of God. So if you're wondering, can God get me through this thing? And all of us have a thing. Right? We all got something we're struggling with, wish wasn't in our lives. If you're wondering if God can get you through that, I'm telling you, he can. If you're wondering he can get you through it today and next year and the next 30 years, he can. I'm standing in front of you telling you he can. I promise you he can. Because none of you are as bad as I was. And if you don't believe me, you're going to ask my wife or my daughter. My daughter's here today. She can tell you some doozies. I'm not that guy anymore. I don't have any shame about any of that stuff because I don't do it anymore. And I ain't never going to do that garbage no more. So I can testify and say, man, I love the Lord because he loved me first. And his plan is unfolding in my life right now. His name's Jesus. It's so awesome. Do you know that most of you know my testimony? And I'm not going to share much of my before Jesus testimony today. I'm going to share my after Jesus testimony a little bit. So from my teens until I was almost 30, I did not believe in God. Big surprise. I thought it was just a big scam. I thought all religion is just a scam. Get your money and have some kind of a tool of control on you. So that's all church was about. Try to get you in here, tell you what to do, get you in fear, get you feeling guilty, take a collection. Wow, was I cynical. I was angry, alcoholic, atheist. I was full of bitterness, hopelessness, and I was cynical to the bone. Anybody ever been like that? But God, I can just tell you, but God. During those years, God was unfolding his plan in my life. Now, some people say, what in the world are you talking about? You were so bad, God had his back turned to you. Nope. I don't care how bad anybody is. God's always working on them. God's always got his real plan for all of our lives. And I don't care how bad you ever was or anybody you know that's still really bad. I'm telling you, God's working in their lives. He's working on them. He's moving big stuff around to bring them to salvation. He did in my life. Let me just tell you a couple things. While I was doing all this crazy stuff, I was a thief. I was a drunk. I was a dope head. Some of the stuff I'm not even going to talk about. Kids are in here. During those years, God unfolded his plan for my life. Do you know the first real job I ever had was chicken coop? And you know, I'm still addicted to fried chicken. Man, we had it yesterday. Woo-wee. Between the fried chicken and the cake, I can honestly tell you, I gained 4.5 pounds yesterday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's America. My first real job was chicken coop. It's a Christian organization. If you go to any chicken coop, look at the napkins, look at the menu, look at the wall, it'll say only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I probably read that thing 1,000 times or more while I was this mixed up, angry, cynical dude. But there's the word of God. Even when I didn't want to acknowledge it, God was working on me. Working with Christians, of all of them, there was only one guy. He was probably about 15 or 16. I think he was in 10th grade in high school. He's the only guy that would witness to me. Because I would just start blaspheming when people try to tell me about Jesus. I'd just start saying horrible stuff and swearing and just talking total foolishness. But this guy wouldn't give up on him. He talked to me about the love of God, how God could do this and do that. I'll never forget that. And he was kin. It was amazing. So I go from there. I did get fired from that place. I go from there to Zondervan's. Wait, what? One of the sweetest old ladies I ever met in my whole life, she worked at Chicken Coop with me, and she had some contact at Zondervan, so she put a good word in. I was able to go out to Zondervan. I touched more Bibles at Zondervan than I ever will as a pastor, right? I worked in the warehouse, and I remember lifting some heavy books. In the midst of that, there was breaks, there was before work, after work. Of course, everybody else there was a Christian. Man, I bet they were so sick of me some days. But in that, I was reading bits and pieces of Bibles and other books while I was there. At the time, it's like, what a load of junk. What a bunch of hooey. It still got in there, though. God's plan was unfolding in my life. And Chicken Coop and Zondervan, that's amazing. So then I run in smack dab into the 80s, which is kind of blurry to me. I end up giving my life to the Lord in 91. 2 years before that, I got married. And I started working in Tool and Die. The other guy that I apprenticed with, working for another die maker, those 2 years, that guy was Chris Shire. Many of you know Chris Shire. He is one of the most on-fire Christians I've ever known in my whole life. We're going in 30 years now. He's still that guy. He's the greatest evangelist in the world that I know of that's still in the workplace. Because most guys that have his anointing and talent skill go full-time. Somebody recruits them to sit in an office or recruits them to go out to the nations. But I'm telling you, Chris has built up a company from nothing. It's a multi-million dollar company now. And you cannot go to a restaurant with him in Granville or Jenison. And while you're having that one meal, somebody won't come up and say, hey, Chris, hey, man, I just want you to know that time that you loaned me that $50 and prayed for me changed my life. Hey, Chris, I just want you to know, remember when you led me to the Lord, da-da-da-da? My life's never been the same. Every time I'm with that guy, somebody comes up and says that. It's so amazing. 2 years before I turned to God, God put that guy next to me, working 10-hour shifts as he'd witnessed to me day in and day out, day in, day out, day in and day out. So no matter where you're at, or maybe it's a friend or a loved one, you're thinking, man, they are so far out there. Whew, I just say church and they get mad. Don't worry about it. God's working on them. Whether it's through their job or the people next to them in that job or somewhere, God is unfolding his plan for their lives. I promise you he is. I promise you he is. Do you know that I did the math today. Almost 2 years to the day, almost exactly, from when I started there, started working with Chris Shire, I gave my life to the Lord at the thing that you invited me to. Almost 2 years to the day. It's incredible. You guys all know that the reason I got saved is because I made a deal with my wife to try to manipulate her to go on a booze cruise to Cedar Point. Drink all the way down there, drink through the park a couple days, drink all the way back. she didn't really want, she was a new Christian. I'm going to have to deal with this thing. So I tried to manipulate her. I said, I'll go to the stupid church thing if she'd go do the booze cruise. Well, turns out God's real. Who knew? I thought I'd just go kill time, sit in this thing, wait for it to get over, and go do some serious drinking. And then God showed up. And this guy on the stage started talking about how God built men and women, how they're hardwired to think a certain way, and when they don't get how they think, they will react in a certain way. And this dude was reading my mail. He was reading my family's mail. It's like, oh, that's what I think, and that's how I act. Oh, and that's how Jeanette's reacting, and that's how the kids are reacting. Oh, wow. God must be real for all this stuff to be so precise, so exact, and so real. In me and my family, God is God. And then the Holy Ghost just settled on me, and my whole everything changed. He blew all my circuits. It was awesome. I went from an angry, atheist, alcoholic, hopeless guy into a born-again Christian that I just believe God could change the whole world. It's like, oh, it's on now. It just, he changed my everything. I'll never forget that. It was so amazing. God revealed to me the reality of him, the reality of God, not religion, not rules, not church life, the reality of living with God Almighty and him speaking to me and showing me stuff in his Bible. And that's for all of us. I don't know where you guys are at. Where, you know, maybe you're really struggling. Maybe you just barely made it here today. But I'm just telling you, God ain't done with you. God's got a plan for your life. It's a good plan for your life. And if things are moving kind of slow right now, don't sweat it, because it's a long-term good plan. And sometimes the best big stuff, it takes a while to get everything right before God opens it up in your life. So just trust God. It's going to be good. John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loves us. God's love changes everything. Today I'm going to just switch things up just a little bit. You know that many times I've talked about when I'm at home, I'll just spend time with God, and some of that's putting out worship music, and I'll just worship God for a while. I go down to my basement, I crank that thing up, and I go for it. So today, I'm just going to share some of my favorite songs, some of my favorite personal worship songs, to try to, what I'm saying, I'm trying to express it through these songs too, and maybe God will speak to your heart. You'll see something in these songs that will help you understand the goodness and the love of God. Can you play that first one for me, please, Jake? Make sure we got some volume. If you want to stand up, if you want to stay seated, just feel free to worship any way you want during these songs.
Who is this King of glory that pursues me?
Hey, Jake, can you stop that one? I'm actually looking for That's My King.
The Bible says my king is the King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. roadway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Yeah. So that kind of stuff stirs me up. What stirs you up? No, not that. So I just want to encourage you today, as I do these songs and I'm speaking, I'm trying to exhort us, I want you to develop a way that you can stir yourself up in the Lord. Whatever that is. For me, nothing better than just going down, getting the Bible out, getting some worship playing. Worship the Lord for a while, get in the Word, find a promise, pray that promise out, sing them songs. Man, that just fills me up to overflowing. I want to encourage you guys to do that because God is good, and His love can't, nothing can stop His love. So since the time I gave my life to the Lord, and I was transformed, instantly just about, in those 30 years, He has shown me so much. His love and His hope has caused me to turn to Him, and that's really what set me free. Now I have great joy most days. Most days. I have great joy. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm not alcoholic, period. God delivered me of alcoholism. And to most of you, that might not be a big deal, but if you ever were an alcoholic or you are an alcoholic, let me tell you, that's a big deal. Booze has a strong hold. I was hooked on it. My life is not peppered with outbursts of rage anymore. I know you guys only know the new and improved version, but every once in a while, it's just good to remind us how far we've come, because I was out there. In almost 30 years of following the Lord, I'm just shy of being a pastor for 16 years. Now, if you'd have told that knucklehead that worked at Zondervan's that sometime was just kicking Bibles around on the floor, that someday he's going to be a pastor, I don't know if I'd have laughed or cussed you out, but I sure wouldn't have believed it. And yet, here I am, folks. What about God's plan for your life? I don't care how impossible you think it is. I'm standing here right before you. I'm the definition of God doing the impossible. If He can do it for me, who was a God hater, think what He can do for you, who's a God lover. Imagine what He can do you. Imagine what He wants to do for you. So in those 30 years, I just put a short list together. I've prayed with and encouraged thousands. That's how much God's used me. Wow, what a privilege. I've married many. I've baptized many. I've introduced hundreds of lost souls to Jesus Christ. Whew, thank you, God. Oh, let's see. I'm losing my place a little bit. I've preached countless sermons built on God's word of love and hope. I've had the privilege of doing this here every week for years now, and I've done it all over the world. Wow. And if you think you're not qualified or you don't have enough talent or you don't have enough training or enough education, can I just tell you, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I never went to seminary. I've been a pastor for 16 years. I've preached all over the world. That's God. Before this, if you think, well, I don't want to go into ministry. I want God to show up where I'm at. God showed up where I was at in Tool and Die and promoted me to be the head of engineering in a multi-million-dollar company. I never had one single college credit of engineering in my life. I was hiring other engineers, and I didn't even know the right question to ask them. But God, man, I've seen the living God give hope to the hopeless, joy to the defeated, peace to the tormented, and life to the dead. I remember praying for a guy that was on life support as they were unplugging the machines to kill this dude. I prayed for him. He's still alive today. I've seen God heal cancers. I've seen God do amazing stuff. And the best is yet to come. I'm not going to be a guy that just says, I remember back when and way back. A week ago Monday, God showed up at Millennium Park, spoke to me through a total stranger. I'm still seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. And not just me, that's for you guys. God has a good plan for all of us. So in all of this, we've prayed for people that couldn't have babies, and they've got grown daughters now. They got grandkids from a woman that the doctor said they couldn't have. Our God's an amazing, amazing God, and the best is still coming. I'm asking God for 10 more years, 10 more good, strong years to do what he wants to do here. Why did he bring me here? Why did he bring you here? Why did he bring us together here? Why is this church still open right now in this neighborhood? Certainly all those are answered with because he's got a purpose that's not done with yet. Amen? God's going to use me more than ever in the next 10 years here in this neighborhood in Newhall. I believe it. How about you guys? Come on, let's expect God to show up and do something. Psalm 91:14 says this, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and I'll set him on high because he's known my name. God's going to do all the stuff that he's ever done for me and more, and for you, and more, for two simple reasons. Because you love him, and because your Savior's name is Jesus Christ. Simple as that. That's all we have to do. And I want to encourage you. This might sound really unchurch, unpastor, but I want you to hear this loud and clear. Could you please just hit a pause button on all your shortcomings? All the stuff that you're still so sick of, that I still have this stupid habit, I do this, I treat people like that, sometimes I lose it, sometimes I'm this, and sometimes I still don't read the Bible as much, I still don't pray as much as I should, could you just hit pause on all that? Let's just leave it there for, let's say 10 years. Now let's concentrate on just having faith. Faith in God, that you love God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's going to fulfill his word to you. Because God doesn't answer because we're really good. God answers because we have faith in God. So let's just hit a pause on our buttons. We're not saying we don't want to change. We're not saying God's not done with us and some of that's going to be maturity. We're not saying that. What I'm saying is that second place to our faith in God and his love and his plan for our lives. Since I've set my love on him and come to know Jesus, everything in my life has changed, and my 10 best years are coming up. I promise you, it's going to get good around here. It's going to be amazing. So one of the things that I've done, one of my favorite songs, really slow, hopefully bear with me, is this hit. Get ready to play the next song from Rita, you said. But this is one of those songs I love to worship. It just opened my heart up because I'm believing God to fulfill his promises. So as we listen to her sing this, it's all about God's promises. She's going to be singing a verse out of Psalm chapter 2, which I stumbled upon as a young Christian. I started praying it. Lord, give me the nations as an inheritance. That's what he promised to Jesus. So through Jesus, I'm asking for the nations. You guys know the track record. I prayed this, was singing this before I ever went anywhere. And so go ahead and play it, Jake. And just think what God said to you.
Say, glory will fill the earth.
Thanks again, Jake. So God's not done, and I still believe what he said. I really do. And I have to agree with Job with this verse. In Job 42:2, this is how Job says it. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God's got a plan and a purpose for your lives. I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what politics are doing. I don't care what Corona's doing. Our God's bigger than all of that. He's not done with any of us. So I've asked God for 10 more years of strength. You know what? Anybody good with math? You know how many days are in 10 years? 3,650 days. So if 10 years doesn't sound like a long time, 3,650 days is what I'm asking. Good days, days of strength to serve him with all my might, to see his purpose fulfilled here. Amen? How about you guys? How long are you asking for? What are you hoping for? What would you like to see? Because in that, in my next 10 years, I want to get to know God more than I do now. I want to be busy. I want to be fruitful. I want to have lasting, permanent fruit. But more than that, I want to get to know God more. I want to grow in my relationship with him. I still want to believe and to see him move supernaturally, just like he did when he gave us this building and brought us into this neighborhood. That wasn't some kind of a coincidence. That wasn't just chance. He brought us here for a purpose, and he ain't done changing lives around just like he did us. So I want to share God with our neighbors. I went outside just to say hi to somebody this morning. Neighbors saying hi to me back because I've worked this neighborhood. Most of these neighbors know me. Most of these neighbors know a lot of you guys. Why not now for God to move on them? Why not now? I worked at Chicken Coop. I worked at Zondervan's. People told me about the Lord. And it wasn't until a certain day that God moved. And then I gave my life to him. I think it's about time. We've done the early years. We've done the mid years. We've even done some of the latter years. Now's the time for all that seed that we threw out there to come to fruition and bear some fruit. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm asking for. Because I know with Corona and with all the stuff, it's easy to lose focus. We're still all about ETS, right? ETS, it's the initials for who we are. It stands for Exalt the Savior, Equip the Saints, and Evangelize the Sinners. Everything we do is about one or two or all three of those things. ETS, Exalt the Savior, Equip the Saints, and Evangelize the Sinners. God's always made a way where there seems to be no way. If we take him at his word, there's no limit to what he's going to do, if we'll just take him at his word. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. So let's wrap this all together. Let's put a bow on this thing. How do we walk out of here today with what we heard here today? Because church isn't about entertainment. Church is about transformation, right? Amen? So all of us want to have something that we heard today or saw here today, experience, that's going to help us know God more and share him more once we get out there. So, you know, one of the first psalms that I read was about if we'll set our heart on God. And that little word set, you can't find it in the Hebrew. It's actually the whole little phrase, set your heart. And it literally means to cling, to join, and to delight in. So if you're like me and you agree, say, yeah, I've set my heart on God, that means you're clinging to God. You've joined your heart with God and that you really delight in his presence. I'm not talking about people that have a crush on God. I'm not talking about people that have puppy love. Because, I mean, I had a crush on, I don't even know how many girls in junior high. Ain't none of them around now, right? I don't know how many times I had puppy love. I don't even remember the names. I ain't got no pictures. Don't ever talk to them. They ain't around. They're not coming back. So how about you? You got a crush on God? Is it just puppy love? Like once in a while when you bump into him, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember we were close friends. Or have you joined your heart to him? You're clinging to him. You've set your heart on him. Psalm 37, 4, 5, and 6 says this. Listen to this. Psalm 37 is one of my favorite psalms. Listen to this, what David says. How's this for a promise? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I don't know if that means as we love him, he'll put something in our heart for us to love, or as we love him, the desires in our heart that line up with his plan he gives us. Either way, I'm good with it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as the noonday. Come on. Those are some promises all of us can grab. And it's so easy. All you got to do is enjoy yourself with God. Delight yourself with the Lord. That's why I keep coming back to some of these videos. This is just a tip of the iceberg. I've got like 100 favorite videos all lined up in YouTube. I got different lists in there. And I'll just go down there. I'll line that thing up in the stereo. And I'll just let it go. And sometimes I'll just worship for an hour, hour and a half. All my favorite songs, loud as I want them, in the order I like them. It's almost like cheating. Right? We can all do that, though. I just want to encourage you. Find something that you can just fan the flame. Fan the flame so you can just be more in love with God than you ever have. That's what David said. Delight yourself in the Lord. What did Jesus say? I'm going to about wrap this up right now, honestly. John 15, 16, and 17. This is how Jesus said. You didn't choose me. I chose you. That's what Jesus says to all of us. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Wow, again, that you choose God, you love God, and that you remembered you're saved through the name of Jesus Christ. This is so simple. We make it hard because the devil convinces us to look at our shortcomings, to meditate on how short we're coming, how much we're still not hitting it. We're still doing this. We're still doing that. You might as well give up, blah, blah, blah. God's like, forget all that mess. Jesus already paid for all your sins. He's not going back to the cross. Let's focus on how much God loves us, how we can just hang out with him and feel his love, and we can take him at his word. So can you play that song by Third Day, and then I'm just going to close it up and wrap it up. I'll pray after this song. But I just want to encourage you guys, if there was some part today, out of all that I've said, out of all the verses, everything that I've said out of my experience, if there's anything that God stirred in your heart and you're like, oh, that's right, I remember that, or God, that's true, I want that. If there's anything, would you please hold on to that? Grab that right now. And as we go through this song, would you worship that nugget that the Holy Ghost gave you? Would you worship that and pray to God about that during the song? Go ahead and play it, please.
This King of glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words. My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I of peace, revealing things of
my spirit's ever longing for his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of glory, Son of God and Son of
prayer here, and I'm going to pray some scriptures over us and some declarations. But before I do that, I'm just going to ask everybody If God stirred your heart with anything, if you feel like he said something to you, reminded you of something, you remembered a scripture or promise, could you write that down or type it into your phone? Just put it somewhere where you can pull that thing out tonight or tomorrow or this week, and you can look at it and you can remind yourself, this is what God said to me. I don't know what he said to the rest of you, but this is what God said to me. And so if you could just jot that down or type it into your phone, then I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to believe God to bring that to pass in each one of our lives. Amen? All right. So if you could just bow your head and open your heart, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that you've got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. I believe that because of who you are and your great love for us, your love changes everything, inside and out. So, Lord, I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to believe that you're going to watch over your word to perform it. In Romans 8, you tell us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he justified. And whom he justified, these he will also glorify. What then shall we say to these things? Well, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Lord, you say all things work together for your purpose and plan in our lives, and because of your great love and who you in Christ are, you will also freely give us these things. Lord, we are those who love you. We believe we're the ones that are called by you for your purposes. We believe we're predestined in this calling to be conformed to the image of your Son. And we believe that you have created good things for each one of us to do and walk in. Each one of us has great purpose in your kingdom. Father, would you please give us all now, all that we need to know you more and to produce permanent, abundant fruit in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've already done for each one of us and for your great love to each one of us. Father, as we leave here today, we just want to acknowledge your faithfulness to us over all of our lives, whether we're 60 or whether we're 6. Lord, we acknowledge that our lives are your gift and that your love shapes us inside and out. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your purpose and plan for our lives. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. So God bless all of you. As you guys already know, it's donut time. There's a whole bunch of donuts over there in the fellowship room. So if you can, just hang around for a minute or two. Join us for a donut. Even come in and grab one and take it home. But just love to see you in there so we can say hi to you. God bless you and have a great week.